Blog Talk Radio.
Through everyday trials of life, the enemy will have you question your very existence. So I come to encourage you, the believer, that God made me.
God made me.
He made me.
He made me who I am.
Put a smile on your face and lift your head.
God made me.
He made me.
He made me who I am.
You may be feeling down, but pick yourself up. Say,
He made me who I am.
So repeat these words after me. Say it.
You're listening to Global Gospel. Stay tuned and be blessed.
But if God cares for the lilies of the field and the fowl of the air, ask yourself, how much more does He care for me? That's why you can say, I am a conqueror. Can hold me back. There's nothing that can stop me because I am a believer. Yes, I'm an achiever. There's nothing that can block my progress. Come on, Mississippi Mass, I don't think they hurt you.
God bless you. God bless you, radio listeners. This is your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend, and you are listening to Global Gospel. And that only means that it is Saturday afternoon again, and it is the 1 p.m. hour, and we are here every Saturday from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m., and you've been listening to Mississippi Mass Choir, God Made Me. What did God make us? He made us victorious. He made us conquerors. He made us to be achievers. So God did not make any junk. When he made you in his image. And God made you special. And so we're here to share with everyone today and to encourage you and to uplift you and for you to be inspired on this Saturday afternoon. Thank you. God Made Me, Mississippi Mass Choir, as suggested by Brother Marlon today for our opening song. Just in case this is your first time listening in, we would like to tell you and invite you and your friends to log on every Saturday to www.blogtalkradio.com/global-gospel. We want you to know that we don't own the rights to any of the music here, but it's just here to encourage you and to inspire you and to uplift you. So we thank you for listening to Global Gospel. To all our listeners in the north, the south, the east, the west, across every continent that you're listening from, every country, every city, every state, we thank God for you and for you. And we pray God's blessings upon your life. And we ask that you continue to listen in and join in with this ministry. If you would like to reach out to us, Global Gospel is on social media. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. Certainly, you can reach out to us. You can like our page. You can look for our updates. You can look for our scriptures that we post or any information that we post or just information. We encourage you to check into us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. If you would like to write Global Gospel, you can write us at P.O. Box 5331, and that is in Hempstead, New York, where the zip is 11550. If you would like to email us electronically, you can email us at globalgospel17@gmail.com. If you'd like to call us and leave us a voicemail throughout the week, you can reach us at 516-481-3187, voicemail only. If you would desire to call into our show later on when we open up the lines, you can call us at 619-924-0800, 619-924-0800, or if you're listening in on your phone or tablet or computer, the number should be posted alongside the show. Again, we thank you. Our stream scripture here at Global Gospel comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. And it simply says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." That is the theme scripture here at Global Gospel, because we want you to hear the gospel, to receive the gospel, to live by the gospel, to apply the gospel to your life, simply for no other reason than to have an abundant life. Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And you should know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news and glad tidings. The gospel heals, it delivers, it saves, and it sets free. And if we were to read on down in 2 Corinthians 4, and we would read a few verses past verse 3, it would say, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So we thank God for the reading of God's word, and we pray that it's something was said that will uplift you and encourage you on this afternoon. We do have a special guest that will be with us here in studio in just a few minutes. The title of today's show is The Poetic God. The Poetic God. And there's so much, if you happen to browse our page, you would know, you would have seen that title by now, and you would have seen the scripture that is posted alongside it that we will share with you in just a few minutes. At this time, we are going to take a break, and we will be back with our special guest. Tune in as we listen to Pastor Donnie McClurkin Stand. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Hello.
God bless you, radio listeners. You are back. We are back. I'm your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend, and you are listening to Global Gospel. And we have live here in studio our special guest. Say hello to our special guest.
You said you'd like me to say hello?
Yeah, say hello.
Hello.
Okay. In case you don't know who that is the voice of our special guest, Dr. Linda Michelle Barron. We are excited to have you here with us today. How are you?
Oh, I am wonderful. I'm thrilled to be here. I love the whole sound and tenor of what you're doing, and I'm excited to be on a call with you.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, you know what? I am an educator. I'm currently a professor and have been for the last 17 years at York College in a part of the CUNY system, the City University of New York. And I teach pre-service educators. That are those educators who are planning to teach elementary and secondary school. That is how I have my, that is my profession. My avocation, but almost co-profession, is that of an author and poet and performing author, actually, and I've done that for, oh my gosh, many years. And so that's who I am in terms of my occupation. And I'm, of course, I'm a child of the Most High God. That's how I roll. And I think that's enough for right now, you think, unless you have something else you want me to add.
No, we can't tell it all. but we can try. But if you need to know a little bit more about Dr. Linda Michelle Barron, you can certainly visit her website. Later, she'll give us that information, how you can find out more about her. But I would just like to say, this is a person that is a part of, I think we just recently reconnected at a Kwanzaa celebration a few months back. But as a product of Hempstead Public School District, as a student there, she is one that is not a stranger to many of the students that grew up in Hempstead, because she was a part of, almost like a part of our curriculum, because it really was. It was a part of our day. Aww. Because she would visit our schools, and we had a little saying, "This is the way."
Yes, we start the day. Hey, we get the knowledge. Hey, to go to college.
We won't stop there. Hey,
go anywhere. We work and smile.
Because that's
our
style.
You know,
I remember most of it.
Yes. You know, that poem, it is the most amazing thing. I wrote that on the way to a graduation in Brooklyn, and I said, I don't want those students just looking at me and not hearing the message. I said, how can I give them a message that they can remember and internalize and enjoy and listen to? And on the way there, I jotted it down. I didn't have text. This is before we could text it, so I couldn't text and drive anyway, but I could kind of jot it down. And that poem has been all over, I think, from the Virgin Islands to New Orleans to even parts of Canada. People have been using that one poem, and the message has, they don't always put my name to it, but you know what? It's just a blessing to know that something that you've been allowed to create is impacting the lives of young people. So I'm very happy. Thanks for remembering that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us and for and with the world. And that was a part of, and it went way beyond our assemblies or whatever. Our teachers actually started out our mornings.
Wow.
With that. So it's a part of Hempstead. But we have so much that we need to cover. But our theme today is the poetic God, and
wow.
I don't want to. I'm not going to box in our guest because she is not to be boxed in, and I know that. So I'm just going to, I'm going to try to be a little formal, but we'll go however the spirit leads us in the next few minutes that we have. But as a theme, Genesis chapter 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And certainly we are all God's children. And what our guest did not say, she is actually a PK.
yes.
So we know that she is very familiar with who God is.
Absolutely.
And so she's just going to share her gift. And God gives us all different gifts.
Wow,
and,
yes.
We express our gifts in every in different ways, and it's not just from the pulpit on Sunday morning. And certainly, we are here to let our light shine. Before we go there, you pick "Stand" as an introduction song.
Yes.
Why?
Because it just, I think, just empowered, makes me feel empowered. I've been blessed with a positive outlook. A positive expression of life is something that I generate wherever I go. But I think even those who motivate and inspire others need to be filled and inspired by others, and Stan just helped to fortify my strength and my not just my belief. My beliefs are there and they're always strong, but what you have to travel through as you do everything you do, you have to know that no matter what the world is piling on top of you, you just stand.
Awesome. That was well said. That is very encouraging, and we do have to remember that when the world is trying to knock us down on every side to stand.
And, you know, and we're trying to be in it. It frightens me that so many of our young people, our children, are being knocked down by each other, by themselves, by the world that doesn't recognize it. When you talk about us being created in God's image, I find it humorous in an odd type of way that there are so many who choose to look down on people of African ancestry, and yet the first people God created was us. We were in Africa. He made the Garden of Eden was somewhere in the continent of Africa, and so we are absolutely his child, his children. And, you know, they got to be a little special love for those he created first. So I always have to, that's something I muse about, is how much we are loved. And even in my poetry, and I really try to capture that love. In fact, I'd love to share one of the poems that I wrote with that in mind, called Fragile, Handled with Care. Would that be good?
Oh, yes, yes.
I would love to do that, because this really was at a time, I wrote this at a time that I wasn't feeling as good about me in terms of my physicality and this and that, and I had to be reminded that I'm a child of God, and this poem came to me with that in mind. It said, I don't want to hide or change my color. I believe there's a creator above who especially chose this tint and poured it all over me with love. He used his fullest paintbrush to add the details of my features. He highlighted my entire body to be prominent among his creatures. He designed my broader nose. He curved my fuller lips. He contoured my entire body, even added extra accents to my hips. He gave me a crown of lamb's wool and twirled each curl with care. He thought of his lamb sent to earth while designing each strand of my hair. Some pretend not to see a difference, as if there's some kind of shame in being who and what I am, and they're trying not to cast blame, and some try to prove they love me by comparing me to others in my race who they think are unusually wonderful, so they slot me into that space. Don't excuse me for the group of me. Don't excuse me of it either. Ethnicity can't make right or wrong. It's time we teach ourselves. It's neither. Who are we to pick and choose, elevate or diminish a human's worth when the Creator designed and individually signed every person on this earth? We are uniquely handcrafted to be more than the sum of each part. We are masterpieces, handled with care, irreplaceable work of his art.
Awesome. Well said. And there's so much that we could say about that, but just to go with that, and while we're on the image of God, what is your message? And I know you encounter people of all different age groups. And what is your message to our young people today, as you know, there's so many issues going on right now, and it's hard to just pull one out, whether it's political, social, economic. What is your advice to them? And I know you express that through your writing and your literature, but as a one-on-one conversation, what do you say?
Well, you know, I think
it's a loaded question.
It you know, there's the blessing is that I've been able to go into classrooms really in the area and really probably throughout the country and talk with young people. The blessing I feel is that when I'm in some of these classrooms or whether I'm speaking to them in groups, whether it's an auditorium, a classroom, or sometimes smaller groups, that they hear me. I am not a youngster. I'm not a baby. I'm quite well advanced in maturity and years, and yet, with everything they could see in terms of this older woman in front of them, they find the part of me that they can connect to. And I think the blessing is that that they can hear the message, and the message is one that it is important that they know that they're a child of God. Certainly in schools now, you can't say that. I've met an educator. I don't know if she was from the city or from out here, and I saw we were shopping, and she said, "Oh, you're Linda Michelle Barron. I love you." She said, "They won't let me bring Jesus into the classroom, so I bring your poetry." So, I mean, that, so somewhere in the poetry is the fact in the word that we are a child of God without me saying it overtly in the ways that schools don't allow any longer. But I think with that in mind, knowing that it's important to know that as such, as masterpieces, as ones who have been given life and from the Father who art in heaven, we have to know who we are and from whence we've come, and we have to feel empowered by knowing our history and our background and how strong we are as a people, and to carry that strength and look for the best in who we are and not the lowest common denominator of what we think we are. And I really tried to give them that sense of the depth of who we are, our wisdom, the fact that acting white is not, that is not what we're doing when we're bringing the best of ourselves to every situation. That is not an act of another culture. That is when we become the best of who we are, we have given the world its knowledge and the depth of intellect, and we have to recapture that, and I want our children to know that.
Right, that is well put, about acting, how people say you can act a certain way, because you know what, I find that a lot of people, and not necessarily younger people, but even older people, are experiencing an identity crisis.
I know. Wow. Is that amazing? Isn't that the truth?
And they don't really know who they are.
Right.
Because they don't know who God is. I don't know.
Yes, because God ain't putting you in boxes. We're putting ourselves in boxes. And we're trying to give ourselves, I mean, I see it in politics. How are you going to tell, listen, when President Obama ran for office, a man whose father was from the continent, and because of his demeanor and because his mother was of European descent, initially they were saying they didn't know if he was black or what. Where he was born. I mean, I'm not even talking about the births. I'm talking about people of African descent who were trying to diminish his cultural background by saying he's not black enough. Doing the same with Kamala Harris. We can't define. We have to stop trying to define people by constructs. These constructs of what it means to be this culture or that. We need to embrace the best of who and what we are.
Right. That is well put. And also you mentioned about the fact that last year we did a series, we had, for about a month, we had guest Christian educators. And, you know, there are so many teachers that are, you know, are Christians, and they're not ashamed of it. Although we can't, as you said, you can't formally bring Jesus into the classroom. And you said the teacher said she brings your literature. And I think that's an example of how God uses everybody in a different way, because God's word, the Bible says his word will not return unto him void. And certainly if we are doing what we are supposed to do, then we are showing Christ every day, not just in our own religious setting. And God puts people there. They put you in the school, in the judicial system, in the court system, wherever you may be. If you're a sanitation worker and you're
Amen.
A child of God, you should be there working as for the, unto the Lord.
And children
awesome.
Know it. I mean, young people are reading. You know, so many people who call themselves Christians aren't acting in ways that are exemplifying Christianity. And children read it. Children read who we are. Children who may not be able to read at the highest levels of in the classroom, they read us from cover to cover. And they can read if you are what you are saying you are. They know it from the way you engage with them, how you respect them, how you regard them, how you hold them, and how you the expectations you have of them. They know who you are. And you, if you are truly what you say you are, they will see it. And when they embrace you, they're embracing the God in you.
I'll put, because there is a certain innocence about children, and they can see people for who
oh,
they are.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I mean, children, I have been speaking to children, and a little 2-year-old, 3-year-old will walk up and just grab my leg. I don't know where they'll just reach out. I just feel that I don't know if it's the innocence of me is old as I may be in chronological years, they read the or feel the child in me and the part that connects to them and the love of me, a love that sometimes the older you get, the crusted over some of that gets, even when we call ourselves Christians. I think if we are more like children, and Christ even said it, but if we're more like children, that kind of unencumbered love is what children need to see and read from you and feel from you, and they learn from you when you are giving whatever it is you are from that love, from that care, from that high regard, from the God in you.
Right. We're going to take a brief break, and once again, our special guest is Dr. Linda Michelle Barron, and she is sharing her gift with us and with Global Gospel in the world today. And our number here in studio, if you would like to call in, shout us out, question, comment, 619-924-0800, 619-924-0800. And we're going to come back in the next segment, and she's going to tell us a little more about the writer or however, whatever direction she
mm-hmm.
wants to go in,
mm-hmm.
the doctor, psychology. You know, we're just going to flow for the next few minutes as our time approaches the end. But this song, Jay Moore says, and I think it sums up today in a great way. Jay Moore says, we must praise. So I want you to stay tuned and be blessed.
If I were a drum, I would use my cymbal. If I were a writer, I would use a pencil. I would use my voice. If I were a singer, ooh, no matter who or what we are, we must praise. If I was a doctor, I would use my research. were an eagle, I would use my wings. Ooh, since I'm a believer, I use everything. Come on, real big.
Make them joyful noise
unto the Lord, all ye people. Ooh, oh, 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 yeah. No matter
who or what we are,
we must praise.
Praise. If I were a believer, I'd use everything. Your sentiments.
What we must? You're asking for my sentiments?
Yes.
Oh my! What? I think we must praise. I mean, oh my gosh, that's how I roll. That's how I wake up in the morning, and we must absolutely give praise and thanks without question.
I do want, before we run out of time, I do want you to share with our listeners how you can be contacted.
Oh, that would be wonderful. You know, I have had a website for a number of years. It was just under LindaMichelleBaron.com, but the person who was just oversaw all of that and developed it had a serious health issue, and she's no longer able to do so. So I've had a wonderful person from the Nassau County area that knew me from Roosevelt and remembered me as when she was a fifth grade student coming to her school, and she now has the one and has developed a website under my LindaMichelleBaron.com. So it's MyLindaMichelleBaron.com. That's the website, and my books are on there. I have The Sun Is On with The Way to Start the Day. For the Love of Life with Fragile, Handle with Care, Rhythm and Dues with poetry that I guess has been used in middle schools. And just to get in touch with me, to have me speak to parents, teachers, and students, mylindamichellebaron.com.
Okay, awesome. And you just mentioned some of your books.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about the author.
The author of these books?
The author
me?
And you, yes.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I have to tell you, I started writing, I tell in the book, when you first look at The Sun Is On, that's the book you would have been familiar with, it tells that I started writing at 6. I guess my first poem was, "I have a cousin named Gerard. I think his ears are very odd. Not fabulous, not deep, not wonderful, but I got love and feedback and support." And I said, "Oh, shoot, they like that. I could do more." So I continued writing and sharing. One, I guess initially I thought writing was just putting words together and loving the sounds and the rhythm and the rhyme. But I later discovered that it was putting your feelings and your thoughts and your desires and passions on the page. And I learned that in middle school, well, junior high school is what it was called then, through my educator, James Clifton Morris. And he was a writer himself. He saw the writer in me and encouraged me. When I was in Queens, where I grew up, and I was going to what was then called Junior High School 59, and I continue to the current time trying to express my feelings, my passions, my joys, my fears, and who I am as a woman of African descent, and as a human being.
Okay, that's awesome. And also, you are a motivational speaker. You're a doctor as well.
Yes.
And psychology?
Well, I'm an educational. My doctorate is from Columbia Teachers College, and it's an education.
Okay.
It's an education, and that's how I'm able to be a professor in the Department of Teacher Education at York College. And I use, you know what, I think as a professor, I'm trying to inspire and motivate these young people to bring their best selves to the children they're going to serve. But I also speak and do, you know, and that you heard me as, oh my gosh, that was such an awesome experience when Kwanzaa last January?
Yes, January, December, something like that.
Exactly. It's either the end of December, I know the period of time. I know we start a little earlier because it's right before school closed. Right. It was such a wonderful experience. But I do that. I do. I try to inspire and motivate. I was just at Eisenhower Park with the gospel. There was a gospel night there, and I was the master of ceremonies there. So I do it all, and all with the love of the Lord is all embedded in everything I do.
Right, that is awesome. So as we fastly approach the close of our hour.
Wow.
It went by really fast.
About
18 minutes left. So we got to cram everything into that until next time.
Right.
Lord says the same, and if your schedule permits, because I know you have a busy schedule. Is there anything on your schedule upcoming that you would like to share with us? Or?
Oh, wow. What am I doing? You know, this summer, I'm really writing. I will tell you, I'm so proud of the opportunity that the Lord has given me, and that a woman I am so enamored by and has mentored me and who's helped me to become the educator that I'm attempting to continue to become. And so I'm writing a book on Adelaide Sanford. We call her Queen Mother Adelaide Sanford. She was not only the principal of PS21 in Bedford-Stuyvesant called the Crispus Attuck School, but she was also vice chancellor, first a regent, state regent for an education, and then vice chancellor of education for the state. And she is what I think Maya Angelou had in mind when she wrote the poem Phenomenal Woman. And I have the honor of writing that book. I met with her a couple of days ago to show her what I'm doing, and I'll be putting in a proposal for that book with a book company by the end of the summer. So that is something I'm doing that I'm so thrilled about, capturing her essence in words.
Okay. Awesome. You've done several things in life, and you continue to do several things. And what would you say to that person out there that has a gift, they're not really sure how to express their gift because it may not be traditional, or they may have a book inside of them, they may have a poem inside of them, there may be an educator inside of them, a life coach? What would you say to them?
You know, what's that expression that they just do it? You know, sitting back and bemusing and thinking about it and just do it. When opportunities come, just say yes and do it. Say yes and do your best. There's so many times when I could have denied myself the opportunity to be. In fact, I wrote an essay once that said I'm everything I never wanted to be or thought I could be, because I was open, though, to the opportunities when they presented themselves. I said yes, even when the doubt in me was saying no, I said yes, and I would invite us all to say yes to the possibilities and to just go out and do it. That would be my, that's what I've had to do. That's what allowed me. Listen, I had not in any way thought I could be Dr. Linda Michelle Barron, going to Columbia University and getting a doctorate in education. Never thought of that. But when the opportunity presented itself, with all my doubts, with all of my saying how many educators don't complete the dissertation and they never get the doctorate, and all of those fears of being denied, and just trusting that when you say yes, that God is there to support you as you go through whatever it is, whether it's a gift that you has been acknowledged, it's one that is growing, just say yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And sometimes it is very hard to say
yes.
Yes. I think we all struggle with that sometimes.
Yes, because everything around you can be saying no. And you just have to listen to yourself. You have to listen to yourself and that still small voice that's pushing you towards what you're here to be and do.
Right. And because you know what? We get comfortable. And the comfort zone is very, it's very easy to stay in a comfortable place.
Yes, yes. And why take the risk? You know, let me just do what's safe. Listen, I quit my job. I was laid off when New York City public schools were going through excessing, and I got laid off. I needed a job because I had bought a house out here, and we needed to, and it was my husband and I, we needed both incomes to pay for the house. I had to get a job. I wound up getting a job as a salesperson selling textbooks to schools. I never wanted to be a salesperson. I said, oh, my God, that's below me. That was one of the best things that could have happened. I said yes to that. And as a result of losing one job, saying yes to one I never thought I could do, is how I met and had the opportunities to become and get introduced to all of the ways that I've been able to express myself since then.
Wow. That's an awesome testimony.
I mean, it just is. It was giving a speech, a motivational speech, that someone had met me way back when I had been a salesperson. They had me do presentations. They said, oh, could you speak to my teachers? I did this speech, and at the end, after we talked, they wanted me to do some other things, and they mentioned that they were in a doctoral program, and I just mused. Oh, I had thought about that. She's the one who told me I got my doctorate from Columbia University for free. Did not pay one dime, but because I was in positions based on my saying yes when I doubted myself.
That is an awesome lesson. And the Bible tells us that our gifts will make room for us.
Amen.
And bring us
Amen.
Before great men.
Amen. Amen.
I'm sure you can testify to that.
Amen. Amen.
Anything else you would like to share with us?
You know, I think what I would want to do is to share with all of us, whether we're children or parents of children or just we interact with, we need to start showing each other love and care and respect and regard. We need to really see, I think, the fact that we are all made in the image of God and treat ourselves in those ways. We need to bring love to ourselves. I'm not even worried about other people loving us. We have to bring love to ourselves. And it's through that love and care that we're going to make the kinds of difference collectively that we need to make. This country needs us to do what they can't do by themselves.
Awesome. To all our listeners, there you have it. Our special guest afternoon has been Dr. Linda Michelle Barron, and a topic, the poetic God. And God is poetic. As ministers, when you're being catechized, there is a question we have to, what are the poetic what are the poetry books of the Bible? And so we know that God is poetic because he asked me.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. You,
No, I'm not. No, you the preacher. You do it. That ain't my. Listen, you preach on. I'm amening.
But it's awesome that you know what your assignment is in life, mm-hmm. and that just because someone else in your family was a preacher or a traditional minister,
mm-hmm.
that does not mean that you are slighting God or slighting who you are by not doing so. And I remember, and I'll close with this, Whitney Houston. Kevin Costner spoke at Whitney Houston's funeral.
Right.
And he said that he was, because his, I believe his father was a pastor or something like that, up in the church. And I don't know if anybody listening remembers that, but he said that he was always afraid of what he was going to be. And he talked about the church and how a foundation and all that. And he said, well, Whitney told me I was never afraid because I always knew what I wanted to do.
Wow.
It's great when you know your assignment in life, or when you can find your assignment, know that you're doing it to the best of your ability, and you're letting your light shine before men, and they can glorify God our Father, which is in heaven. And so I'm so delighted that I'm able to join with us. If anyone just tuned in and you have missed the first part of the show, you can log on. All our shows are archived. So
wonderful.
At 2 p.m., immediately following the show, you can listen to the whole entire God. You can hear more from Dr. Barron. You can listen today, tomorrow, next week, the night.
Can we upload it to our website?
I'm sure you can. Oh, also, it's on your Facebook. It's on Linda Michelle Barron's Facebook page. She's been tagged.
Great.
Go to her page and click on it there, and it'll take you direct. Click on the picture, embedded image. It'll take you directly there. Or you can,
I'm loving this. Thank you.
Global Gospels page or Lamar Townsend's page, and it's right there. So, and it's on Twitter as well. Global Gospels. It's on Twitter. So it's on social media. So if your friend can't find it, tag them or send it to them through a message.
And come to my website, mylindamichellebarron.com, too. It may not be on there, but you can get more information about me.
Yes, and we do want to invite her to your speak to your young people, your middle-aged people, your older people, your seniors, your church, your community group.
I love it. I love it. Yes.
And learn more and just continue to be who God wants us to be. I guess we're just about out of time.
What a blessing. Thank you so much for the love, for the insight, for the spirit. It's been my joy being a part of this this hour, this period of time with you.
Right. And we thank you. We send our love and blessings and prayers your way. And we thank you that you took time out of your busy schedule just to share with us on this afternoon. We are going to close in prayer. Would you like to pray?
I would love for you to pray. I love being a part of the prayer. Thank you.
Okay. Once again, thank you, radio listeners. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercy. We thank you for allowing us to share the poetic God. We thank you for giving us Dr. Linda Michelle Barron to share God with the world, to share God with those that she encounters. God, we pray your blessings upon her life, upon her ministry, upon her work that she does. And pray, God, that you give her the desires of her heart, God. We pray that many are touched, healed, delivered, saved, and set free by your words, God. And by your Son, Jesus. And we thank you today for sending your Son, Jesus, that we might have a right to the tree of life, God. We encourage everyone, those that are suicidal, those that are down and out, those that are oppressed, those that are in poverty. God, we know that you're able to do all things but fail. You're touched by the feeling of our infirmities, God. And we pray, God, that you lift them up right now in the name of Jesus for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you
again.
Oh, wow.
An instrument of praise. We close with the Clark Sisters. Stay tuned. Next week, we'll be here from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. at www.blocktalkradio.com/global-gospel. God bless you.
God bless you.